fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, and we're going to consider today verses 8 to 12. That's Proverbs, chapter 10, verses 8 to 12. You recall that Proverbs, chapters 10, 1 to 22, 16, are designated as the Proverbs of Solomon, and these comprise the central section of the book, in which the first nine chapters constitute a sort of preface. These first nine chapters provide discourses by wisdom on fundamentals of life and well-being. Chapters 10 to 22 give us a collection of proverbs in the accepted sense of the term, pithy sayings which express wise rules of conduct, warnings, lessons drawn from experience, and moral reflections. These Proverbs of Solomon are for the most part unconnected sentences without systematic order and having no logical order. They are remarkable for profound thought and acute observation expressed in an antithetical or illustrative form, the whole comprising a divine system of morals of universal application, a treasury of wisdom in all its diversified details, personal, domestic, social, and civil. Now we have before us in verses 8 to 12, five proverbs. And I want us to begin reading now with verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. You'll notice the first proverb in verse 8 has to do with accepted and rejected instruction. And it simply says this, that the wise in heart accepts instruction, but the prating fool rejects instruction. Now, the wise in heart is the person whose heart is marked by skillful ability to use knowledge aright. It's the kind of heart that knows how to use what he knows rightly, or wisely, rather, and how to make proper application of knowledgeable facts to life. So you see, wisdom really is that skill of how to use knowledge that has been accumulated. We have a very interesting statement in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. It says, "Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So you see, the person who is wise in heart is the person whose heart, which is the seat of his emotions and affections and volition, is conditioned by the skillful use of knowledge. And of course, that knowledge comes from the Word of God, and he's had his senses exercised to distinguish between good and evil. I feel sorry for the person who claims to be a Christian who says, I see no harm in the various questionable things of the world. You see, this indicates that he has not been exercised in the word of righteousness, and therefore he is unskillful in the use of the knowledge that he has. Now it says, the wise in heart will receive commandments. That is to say, he will recognize his limitations, and he is willing then to learn and apply the precepts which regulate a well-ordered life. And of course, from the biblical point of view, that well-ordered life is a life of moral integrity, moral uprightness. Well, in contrast, we read about the prating fool. Now, he shall fall. The prating fool is the person whose lips speak foolishness. He's the person who indulges in senseless talk. By his babbling, he tries to give the impression that he is wise and has nothing to learn. So you see, he gives evidence that he's obsessed with a sense of his own importance. So he rejects the earnest instruction of wisdom. He's unwilling to learn and to apply the precepts which regulate a well-ordered life. He'd rather remain unskilled. Now, the Word of God says, he shall fall. That is, his fate is to be brought to utter ruin. So, in this particular proverb, we read that the wise in heart will receive commandments, but the prating fool shall fall. The next proverb is in verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. And this simply teaches that the upright are secure, and the perverted are to be chastened. He that walketh uprightly is the person who walks in integrity. The word really has reference to walking perfectly or with a perfect heart. That is, a heart that is perfectly related unto God, has a perfect and proper attitude toward Almighty God. Now, the person who walks in this fashion, the Word of God says, walketh surely. That is, he is free from danger. He is free from anxiety. And the reason is because in chapter 2 and verse 7 of our book, we read that the Lord is a buckler and shield to them that walk uprightly. One who protects, one who shields, one who guards from danger, one who keeps a person from being anxious regarding the security of his life. Now, in contrast, we read that he perverteth his ways shall be known. Now, the person who perverts his ways simply is the one who walks in moral perversity. Now, there is a peril of perversity. And in the 29th chapter of this book, we read that he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. A person who continues to walk in a perverted way in spite of the fact that he's received the reproof of instruction, in spite of the fact that he's been dealt with from the Scripture, Word of God says this person shall be known. Or it could mean he shall be instructed by the chastisement of bitter experience. On the other hand, it may also mean that he will be exposed for what he is. He may conceal his true character for a while, but there come a day when that perverted one will be seen as one who has perverted his life. And so, that second proverb simply says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. The third proverb in this section is in verse 10. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. And this just simply says, the eye winker gives pain. The prating fool gets ruin. Now, he that winketh with the eye is the person who uses his eye to draw attention to a fellow man with evil intent. It may mean malicious evil, that is, draw attention to this person in order that that person may be the object of malice, or it may mean moral evil. He calls attention to him in order that he might seduce him into moral wrongdoing. Now, he that winketh with the eye, in either case, is, of course, the one who causes sorrow, who gives pain. The effect, then, of the evil innuendo of the winking eye is to cause the victim mental anguish, material injury, oftentimes, and oftentimes also moral ruin. And then, of course, a prating fool shall fall. And we've already seen this part of that proverb in verse 8, where the prating fool is the one who will be brought to utter ruin. So, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The fourth proverb in this section is in verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. This just simply means that righteous talk is the source of vitality, whereas wicked talk is the source of violence. You see, the mouth of the righteous man, that is, the words which issue from a man who is right in his relationships with God and with man. On the one hand, he is the one who by faith is righteous. And on the other hand, he is the one who by his dealings with other men prove that he is righteous. Now, this person is righteous in both these aspects, righteous towards God and righteous towards men, righteous by faith, righteous in his works. He is this because he has been instructed by wisdom. Now, the Word of God says that the mouth of this person, or the words of this person, is a well of life, a source of vitality to those who listen to his instruction, those who take his advice, those who heed his exhortation. And this is true in the same way that a well supplies refreshment to them who draw its waters. But on the other hand, violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, this statement marks the difference between the good and the wicked in the effect they produce on their fellow men. So you see, from the mouth of the righteous comes vitality, that is life. From the mouth of the wicked there comes violence. Of course, that is malicious dealing with others. So the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And then our final proverb in this passage is verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. And this simply means, expressions of hatred kindle the fires of strife, whereas expressions of love cover up insults and sins. You see, hatred stirs up strife by making mountains out of molehills, by magnifying faults of others out of all proportions. And then love covereth all sins. You see, love puts out of sight and enables one to overlook personal insults and injuries brought about by a rebellious spirit. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read that love taketh no account of evil. So we see a soft answer turneth away wrath, but in grievous words stir up strife. I trust that the Lord will bless you as you've heard and as you apply the truth of these proverbs to your life.
You've been listening to another lesson by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. The Bible Institute of the Air is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.